now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, breaking the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On you, Husky!
Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker Puff Rice. It's nice. And when you hear that shooting, you're darn tootin' that Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
Yes, sirree. For a breakfast treat that can't be beat, eat delicious, fresh Quaker Puff Rice and Quaker Puff Wheat. Pour out a bowlful, top with milk and fruit, and what a feast. Every morning, enjoy the ones shot from guns. In a small cabin near the town of Rocky Ridge, Tom Tilford stood at one end of the room throwing darts at a target on the opposite wall. Jake Martin, Tom's partner in a mining claim, sat watching with admiration until the final dart struck the target.
Another perfect score. Tom, I bet my last shirt there's no one can beat you at that game.
You'd lose your shirt, Jake. In England, I was considered mediocre.
Maybe so in England. But here in Yukon, you could be a champion.
Oh.
Luke Daggett thinks he's good. He should play against you.
Luke Daggett?
He's that big bully in Galoot who hangs out in the Rocky Ridge Cafe most of the time. I'd sure like to see some of the conceit taken out of him. And I'm not the only one.
What'd you say, Jake?
I'm not the only one. I'd like to see Daggett take a beat in the darts. Hey, Tom, you gotta do it.
I've got to do what?
Beat Luke Daggett.
But I say,
you beat Daggett at darts and take some of the conceit out of him, and everyone will think you're all right. You want people here in the Yukon to think well of you, don't you?
Of course, Jake, but a simple game like throwing down...
Come on, Tom. We'll start for town right now.
But Jake, going there only to show off...
You leave everything to me, Tom. Come on.
A little later that evening, Tom and Jake were seated at a table in the Rocky Ridge Cafe, while Luke Daggett threw darts for the sourdough.
Well, I beat you again. I reckon that means I'm still the champ, eh, boy?
Only until you meet Tom Tilford.
What's that?
You heard me, Luke. Tom Tilford can skin your darts.
You talking about this here Britisher?
That's right.
Jake, please.
Tom was a champion in England.
But no, Jake, I told you I...
You think you can beat me?
I didn't say that, Dagger.
I should.
You're being called, Jake. How about it?
Yeah. How much are you willing to bet on the Britisher?
Well, I've got no cash, Luke.
I wouldn't wager.
All right, then. We'll play without wagering. Step up and throw.
But I really don't...
Go on, Tom. Keep Daggett elected.
For Tom Tilford, there was no escape. He was urged by the crowd to engage in the contest.
Take your choice, Tilford. You want to go first or last?
I'll go last.
All right, then. Here I go, gents. I'll teach the British a lesson.
The crowd gathered at the end of the cafe near the dartboard. An interest increased as the close contest progressed.
Got one more dart, Luke. Better make it good.
Luke Daggett scowled as he stood at the throwing line. He knew that most of those in the cafe were hoping he'd be beaten, and the knowledge enraged him.
Here goes. And your turn, Tilford. Let's see you beat my score.
Go ahead, Tom. Show up, Dagger.
Tom Tilford, preparing to take his final turn with the dart, was the subject of conversation at a table in another part of the cafe, where Sergeant Preston and Constable Blake sat talking after the evening meal.
Tilford came here about 3 months ago.
It's about 3 months since the last time I came here.
That's right, Sergeant. Tilford arrived just after your visit.
Did he come direct from England?
Yes.
A lot of counselors are interested in dart. In England, every pub has a dart boy.
I'd like to see Tommy beat Luke Daggett. Might take some of the conceit out of the big bully.
Young Tilford working here?
He's working a gold claim in a hill a couple of miles north of town.
Well,
he and Jake Martin staked and filed the claim. But I think old Lem Garson has an interest in it now.
Oh?
As I understand it, Garson grubstaked Martin and Tilford. I don't know the details of the arrangement.
Where's Tilford living?
He and Jake have a cabin about halfway between here and the gold claim. Just about a mile from town.
Hmm.
Jake Martin's the man sitting at a table near the
board. Oh, I see him. I know Martin.
I thought you did.
Tilford
won the game of darts.
Good.
And Daggett was supposed to be good.
I don't want to tip it. I'd nudge my arm on the last throw.
Nobody nudged your arm, Daggett.
Beat it, though.
No one was standing anywhere near you.
I beat the British in an honest game.
I think you've lost hard.
Yeah.
You're all against me. I'm getting out of here. You want to side with the British, sir? You come right with me.
Good thing. He stayed here and started a fight.
I'd like to meet Tilton.
We'll go to his table. You like him, huh?
As the excitement of the dart game subsided, Sergeant Preston and Constable Blake approached the table where Tom Tilford sat with Jake Martin.
Hello, Martin.
Hello, Martin.
Oh, sit down,
Jake. Sergeant Preston, this is Tom Tilford.
Glad to know you, Tilford.
I'm glad to know you, Sergeant. I've heard a lot about you and your dog.
Oh. I told Tilford about Yukon King.
Where is King?
In front of the cafe. I left him outside because he doesn't care for warm rooms.
I'm fond of dogs. Always have been.
Yeah, dogs and darts, huh, Tom? Yeah.
Speaking of darts, Tilford, congratulations on your victory over Luke Daggett.
Oh, thanks. Well,
Tom's mighty good at darts. He practices almost every evening in our cabin.
That's so?
I must admit it.
I've been thinking of trying it myself one of these days.
But... Jake. Look who just came in.
Oh, Lem Garson. Say, Jesus.
Tilford! Martin!
Looks like he's mad about something.
I heard you two were in town, and I thought I'd find you here. Hello, Blake. Evening, Sergeant Preston.
Good evening. Will you sit down, Garson?
No, thanks. I'll have my say standing up.
Well, what's the trouble, Garson?
I looked over your report of progress on the mine. That's what's wrong.
We haven't found the gold yet.
A month ago, you told me you expected to hit pay dirt within 2 weeks.
We're doing our best.
I doubt that.
Mr. Garson.
I'm beginning to wonder if I've been flim-flam.
What do you mean?
You two asked me to grubstick you.
Yeah, and for doing it, you got half interest in our claim.
Well, you might have staked the claim on worthless land. What? Just so you could collect the cash from me.
If you think
I'm getting tired of handing out money every week or so. Money to throw away in cafes.
Mr. Garson. This is the first time in weeks I've been in a cafe.
Well, you're here now, both of you, when you should be home in bed. You can't do an honest day's work without sleep.
If you think I haven't been doing an honest day's work...
I want results. I don't intend to go on much longer paying out money to idlers.
Don't call me an idler.
Tom, don't start anything.
Sit down, Tobin.
So, now you threaten to strike me.
I'm sorry, Mr. Garson.
Garson, it takes time to develop a claim, especially in winter when the ground has to be thawed before digging.
I'm interested only in results.
Our claim is a good one, Mr. Garson. We'll show you that.
You'll show me by the first of next month. That gives you just 2 weeks. If you don't find gold by that time, you're through.
Through?
What do you mean we're through?
Read the agreement we signed. You'll find that I reserve the right to buy you out for $100 each. And take over the claim lock, stock, and barrel if you don't find gold by the first of the month.
Jake, is that in the agreement?
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of fancy legal writing that I couldn't understand.
Well, here's my copy of the agreement, signed by both of you and witnesses.
Garson, that claim is ours. You can't take it away from us.
No? Well, I'll leave it to Sergeant Preston. Here, Sergeant. Read this agreement and tell Tilford and Martin where they stand.
All right. The sergeant read the wordy document slowly and carefully. Then Preston looked at Garson, who remained standing beside the table. Did you write this, Garson?
Yes, and I know it's legal. It'll stand up in any court.
Sergeant Preston, can he buy us out?
Yes, Don.
No.
The agreement is cleverly worded. The meaning is shrewdly concealed, but nonetheless specific.
You bet it is.
Unless by the first of the month enough gold is taken from the claim to repay all that Garson has advanced, Garson has the option to buy the interest held by Tilford and Martin.
But that's different than the way we talked about our deal.
It is not.
I say it is. You used all those fancy legal words. I didn't know the name.
I drew up the agreement just as we discussed it. And you both signed it.
Garson, you're a crook.
Tom Tilford's face was white and his hands were clenched as he rose to his feet, looked at Garson, then walked away.
Golly. Did you see the way Tom looked at Garson? There was murder in his eyes.
That night, Sergeant Preston slept in the home of the constable. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning when both lawmen were awakened by King, who'd been sleeping in the snow in front of the door.
I'll see why King's barking.
What's the matter, King?
Constable Blake! Sergeant Preston!
That's Luke Jagger.
Quiet, King.
I gotta see you right away. But that dog won't let me near the door.
He'll not bother you. Come in.
1 o'clock in the morning. Fine time for visiting. What is it, Dagger?
Let me get my breath.
King, stay outside.
Lots of wind and snow. I just came from Lem Garson's house. He's been murdered.
Garson murdered?
Yeah.
We'd better get into our boots and parkas, Blake.
All right.
Dagger, tell us all you know about Garson's murder.
About a half hour ago, Jake Martin came to my cabin.
That would be about 12:30?
Yeah, about that time.
We left him in the cafe at 10:30.
That's what he told me. He said Garson'd been there, too.
Garson left a few minutes before we did.
Jake said he sat alone in the cafe for a couple hours, thinking over what Garson said about taking the claim.
Yes?
Then Jake came to my place and asked me to call on Garson with him. He offered me his gold watch if I could persuade the old man to change his mind.
Why did he think you'd have any influence with Garson?
Well, he knew Garson and I were friends.
Ah, go ahead.
Well, Garson Officer sits up late going over his business accounts. So Jake and I went to his house. We saw there was a light inside and rapped on the door. When we didn't get an answer, we tried the door. It was bolted. I wondered if Garson was inside, so we went to the side of the house and looked through the window. Then we knew something was wrong.
How did you know it?
The window was smashed. Wind and snow were blowing into the room. We saw Garson slump down in his desk chair with a dart sticking from his chest.
A dart?
Like the darts in the cafe?
No, it was different from those. Jake said it was one of the darts Tom Tilford brought from England.
Did he tell that by looking through the window?
No, Sergeant. We went inside the house. Climbed through the window to see if Lem was still alive.
Touch anything?
No, but we both had the same idea. We figured Tilford must have killed Garson. No one else would have had one of his darts.
Hard to believe he'd be foolish enough to use a weapon that would identify him as the killer.
Well, Jake figured he went loco.
I wouldn't be surprised if he became temporarily deranged. Do you remember, Sergeant Preston, the expression on his face when he left the table in the cafe?
Yes.
Maybe after he reached home, he brooded over the situation and took one of his darts and returned to town.
Mm-hmm.
He had ample time to go home and come back.
Yes, he had time. Go on, Daggett. Finish your story.
There's no more to tell, Sergeant. Jake and I left the house.
Through the window?
No. We unbolted the door. I came straight here.
Where's Jake Martin?
He went to his cabin to see if Tom's there.
Ready, Blake?
Yes, Sergeant.
Let's go, then.
Sergeant, you want me to go to Garson's with you?
Yes. You too, King. Come along, boy. Wind and snow beat against the three men and the dog as they hurried through the dark, deserted street.
Much hope of finding any tracks.
No, Blake. The snow fills them in almost as soon as they're made.
I can't even see the tracks I made a few minutes ago when I came from Garson's house.
House is dark. But you said there was a light burning, Dagger.
There was one candle lighted when Jake and I got there, but I blew it out before we left. So if anyone who might pass by wouldn't see you, what was inside. I left the door unlocked.
I'll go first.
King knows there's something wrong.
Yes, quiet, King. I'm not familiar with this house.
I'll strike a match.
There's a candle on the desk.
That's it.
That's the one I blew out.
Blackguard, is this just the way Garson was when you first saw him?
Yes, Sergeant.
We look through that window right over there. The candle's blown out.
Light it again, Blake.
I'll close the shutter on the broken window and kick the wind out.
No, Daggett. Leave it just as it is.
Looks to me like the dart went straight to Garson's heart.
Yeah.
Jake and I figured...
Confounded wind. The candle won't stay lighted.
You any more matches?
Yes, but there's no use lighting the candle unless we shield it from the window.
Go ahead, Blake. Light it.
If you say so.
Daggett, you were about to tell me what you and Jake figured.
Well, we figured that Tilford smashed the window, then threw the dart when Garson turned in his chair to see what happened.
Uh-huh. Here, Blake. Take charge of this dart. Mark it as evidence.
Right. Candle looks like it's going out again.
Shield it with your hand, Blake. Hold it close to Garson's chest. I want to examine the wound.
All right.
That's it. Daggett, now will you close the shutter?
Yeah, sure thing.
Blake, the wound didn't bleed. I think Garson was dead before he was struck by the dart.
I didn't see any other wound or mark of violence.
There are several ways to kill a man without leaving a mark. Have the coroner make a thorough examination.
All right. Now the wind won't bother you.
Oh, thanks, Daggett. By the way, when you and Jake were looking through the window, did you see any wet spots like these on the floor?
No, Sergeant. I reckon Jake and I tracked in from snow, but we didn't see any before we came in.
Well, there would have been wet spots if Tilford had entered the house.
Well, I don't think he came in, Sergeant. The chances are he stood at the window and threw the dart.
Blake, take charge of things here.
Yes, Sergeant.
I'll take King and go to Tilford's cabin.
You may find Jake there if he hasn't started back.
Sergeant, do you know how to reach the place?
No, but I'll find it if you'll give me directions.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Say, do you know why Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat are bigger and better tasting breakfast cereals? 'Cause they're shot from guns. They're actually exploded up to 8 times normal size. Tender, crisp, and full of toasty nut-like flavor. An exciting treat to eat every morning. And say, don't miss out on a thrilling space flight to the moon in 3D. The most exciting offer you've ever heard will be made for one of the last times at the end of this program. Rocket ships, outer space, meteor crash, exploring the moon. They're all part of this sensational offer. Don't miss it. Keep listening. Now to continue. Following Blake's direction, Sergeant Preston, accompanied by his great dog, Yukon King, soon reached Tilford's small cabin. He saw that it was lighted, and as he drew near...
Sergeant Preston.
Hello, Martin.
I just about to start for town when I heard your dog. Come on in.
Thanks. Come on. Tilford here?
No, he was gone by the time I got here. Luke Daggett probably told you how he went to call on Garson and found him dead.
Yes.
I can't imagine what got into Tom. I never would have believed that he'd turn killer.
You seem to be convinced that he's the murderer.
Well, it was his dart, and he was sore at Garson, and on top of all that, he ran away.
Any idea where he went?
No, Shaggy. But I reckon he figured on traveling fast and far. He took all his gear with him and just about all the food we had here in the cabin.
Huh. By the way, Martin, what happens to Garson's share of the gold claim?
That's taken care of in our written agreement. If one of the three of us dies, his shares are divided equal by the survivors.
Then you and Tom will split Garson's share.
Yeah, but...
And if Tom dies by hanging or otherwise?
Well, I reckon I'd be the owner of the whole thing.
Then you have a motive for murdering Garson.
Now, see here, Sergeant.
I haven't accused you, Martin.
I couldn't have done it, Sergeant. In the first place, I didn't have one of Tom's darts. And in the second place, I was in the cafe until just before I went to Garson's house. Daggett was with me then.
Yes, I know.
If you think
I'm going to find Tilford before I begin to think about anything else.
Yeah, going to start looking for him right now?
Yes.
You'll have a hard time, Sergeant. His tracks are probably blown over.
King doesn't leave tracks.
You mean he can follow the scent even if there's snow on top of the tracks?
Yes. Where did Tilford sleep?
Let's see. Door to his room.
Come on, King.
Hey, dear. Want to know where Tilford slept?
King will get his scent from the blankets.
Oh.
Here, King. Scent boy.
Well, I didn't think any dog could follow a scent when the tracks are covered.
Got it, fella?
Hey, dog will probably follow the scent to the gold claim. Tom went there every day.
King seems to be interested in that door.
That's just the closet. Tom kept extra clothes there. His dress-up clothes.
Locked.
Yeah. Tom always kept it locked.
Do you, King?
No.
Well, probably doesn't matter. Come on, King. Come on, boy. Come on, let's start on the trail.
King braced and pulled back against Preston's grip on his collar. He fought against leaving the room. When the Mountie's grip was released, the big dog returned to the door, clawing and whimpering, in an effort to tell his master the secret that was locked inside the closet.
All right, King, we'll have a look.
Hey, I can't open the door, Sergeant. Tom bought the lock himself and put it on. He has the only key.
Well, then I'll have to smash the lock. A bullet should...
Hey, wait, Sergeant. Don't bust the lock. I just remembered that I've got a key that may open it.
Oh?
Here it is. Tom misplaced his key once, and we found out that this one of mine will work.
All right. Yeah? Get back, King. We'll be quiet, boy.
Did it work?
Yes. Now we'll see why King raised such a commotion. Great Scott.
On the closet floor, Preston saw Tom Tilford tightly bound and gagged. And in that instant, Jake Martin said...
Stand still, you're covered.
Quiet, King, quiet.
Draw your gun slow and drop it on the floor.
Very well.
Now heist your hand.
Okay, quiet, boy.
Either you or that dog make one fast move, I'll fire.
Turning slowly, Preston saw Jake at the far side of the room holding a double-barreled shotgun.
Now I reckon you know the truth, eh?
You and Daggett murdered Garson.
Too bad you couldn't have accepted the story Daggett and I had fixed up for you.
Well, I knew that story wasn't true.
Yeah?
In the first place, Daggett said that you and he saw Garson by the light of a candle. That candle wouldn't have burned long enough. It blew out in a matter of seconds with the windows shattered.
Well, it doesn't matter.
In the second place, Garson wasn't killed by a dart.
How do you think he was killed?
I think you and Daggett went to the door and Garson let you in. You killed him in a manner that left no mark on his body, then placed him in his chair and planted the dart so Tom Tilford would be suspected.
You've got it all figured out, haven't you, Preston?
One of you went outside and smashed the window. The other bolted the door and left through the broken window.
Yes, sir. You got it all figured out.
You must have planned the murder, Jake, and brought one of Tom's darts to town with you.
You better have planned it.
What did you intend to do with Tilford?
He'll be found frozen to death somewhere in the wilderness. Only now, instead of being blamed for one murder, he'll be blamed for two. He'll be blamed for shooting you and your dog as well.
Martin, you're a fool.
Yeah?
I told you that both Constable Blake and I knew that Daggett lied.
Well?
Knowing that, do you think I came here without taking precautions?
What do you mean?
You'll never have the chance to use that shotgun. Take it away from him, Blake. Jake involuntarily glanced toward the door. Preston shouted,
King!
King charged, and his jaw closed on the shotgun. Jake fired both barrels, but the charge of shot went into the floor. Then Jake went down with King a furry mass of fighting fury, exposing huge fangs just inches from the killer's throat.
Look out, get him off! Got him off me!
That'll do, King. I have him covered. Quiet, boy.
You
have. Got him, King, while I put on these handcuffs.
Where's Blake?
As far as I know, Martin, he's still in town. He'll help me arrest Daggett when we get there.
You tricked me!
For a man who makes such smart plans, Martin, you fell for it very easily.
Well,
the boy, stay right there on the floor while I release Tilford. Guard him, King.
Listen, Preston. I didn't do the killing. Daggett did that. He knew just how to strangle the old man without leaving any mark.
It doesn't matter. You'll both hang. And when you're gone, Tilford will be the sole owner of the gold claim. There, son. You all right?
Yes, Sergeant. I'm all right.
I'll free your hands. There. Now let me get the rope around your ankles.
I couldn't believe it. When Jake came home, threatened me with a gun, then tied and gagged me.
Your ankles are free?
I'm certainly grateful to you. You saved my life.
It's just part of our job, Tilford. King's job and mine. Now, Martin, stand up. Let him up, King. We'll take him to jail and lock Daggett there with him. This case is closed.
We'll return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. Are you getting in on the offer that's sweeping the country?
Well, hurry.
while they last, get the amazing 3D pictures of a space flight to the moon. They come right on packages of your favorite breakfast cereal. Swell-tasting Quaker Puff rice and Quaker Puff wheat. Why, it's like stepping into a rocket ship and zooming into outer space. And your destination is the moon. What excitement from the very first 3D picture you get of Spaceport. That's where the huge rocket ships take off from Earth. Then number two is your takeoff, called Rocket Ship Away. Number three, you're in outer space, making a stopover at Space Island for refueling. Number four, passing a space liner. Suddenly your rocket ship is struck by a meteor. So hold everything for 3D picture number five. Wing repair in outer space. Number six, target the moon. Number seven, landing on the moon. Number eight, you're armed with ray guns and you're exploring the moon. Don't stop with one or two of these exciting three-dimension pictures of a space flight to the moon. Get all eight. Remember, they're real 3D pictures. You don't need glasses. The pictures actually stand out from the background. And each 3D picture in full color comes only on a package of Quaker Puff rice or Quaker Puff wheat. They're ready to cut out. Easy and fun to put together. And you get a complete story about each picture. Now here's swell news. These terrific 3D pictures don't cost you a red cent. They're free of extra cost with the purchase of a package of Quaker Puff rice or Quaker Puff wheat. Nothing to send in, no waiting. But the supply is limited, so get yours before they're all gone. You'll want to collect all eight 3D pictures. Trade them with your friends. So get going. Hot put it over to your grocers. Ask for swell-tasting Quaker Puff rice or Quaker Puff wheat with a space flight to the moon 3D pictures on the back. Sergeant Preston cautiously looked through the window of a cabin in which two gunmen had taken refuge from a storm. He saw them sitting at a table. Preston, with gun in hand, flung open the front door.
I got a gun in your back, Marty. Drop yours. My pal over there also holds a gun on you. You walk into a trap and you won't get out alive.
The situation was tense as Sergeant Preston stood alone and seemingly helpless as he faced one gun and had another pressed to his back. Can he escape the trap? Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Fred Flowerday, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at this same time by Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice. The breakfast cereals shot from guns.
Hungry, hungry, step right this way. Get your thrilling, exciting circus pictures in amazing, sensational third dimension. Famous circus stars, ferocious wild animals, and genuine 3D glasses.
Listen, boys and girls, you know Muffets, the tasty energy-packed round shredded wheat? Well, sir, every Muffets package contains a pair of genuine 3D glasses, plus four thrilling, colorful picture cards of real circus stars and wild animals, all in third dimension, free of extra cost with Muffets, the round shredded wheat.
This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Pop Wheat and Quaker Pop Rice. So long. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.